Coming up on Simply Superior.
I hear those wolves howling and stuff like that. It's a beautiful sound to hear.
Wisconsin's gray wolf has made a comeback, but is it too successful and a danger to other animals?
These animals were trailing bear, and one was trailing bobcat. They were attacked by wolves without any provocation.
Then, we asked for a new theme song, and you responded with music that's simply superior.
Simply superior, news and issues from a superior point of view.
It's simply superior.
Superior, our shining
sun. S-I-M-P-L-Y, superior.
Simply superior, great inland sea.
Simply superior.
All that after this. Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and no, She-Wolf by Shakira isn't our new theme song. We'll have a whole selection of brand new superior music later in the show. Our first discussion is about wolves, the Wisconsin gray wolf to be specific. And though their numbers are small, they're certainly not small enough to keep in a closet. The gray wolf was declared extinct in Wisconsin not very long ago, but now they've made their way back, with suggestions by the Trump administration and others that they be removed from the endangered species list. Wisconsin Public Radio reporter Rich Kramer took an extensive look at the wolf's recovery in the state, authoring a report late in November for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. He joins me in a bit to talk about his findings, but first, here's a report he did last month about a state program to compensate owners of hunting dogs and livestock killed by wolves, and how well it's working.
Just outside the city of Medford, Jack Johnson raises beef cows on a third-generation farm. Young calves cling to their mothers while the herd feasts on shaggy, emerald-green grass. 5 years ago, Johnson says he was checking his cows when he found a calf eaten by wolves.
And there wasn't much left of it. The head and the two front shoulders and everything else was gone. And that was just overnight.
Johnson filed a claim with the DNR's Wolf Damage Payment Program, which has been paying for animals killed by wolves since 1985. He got $400 for the calf, though he says it could have sold for twice that. He says he'd rather see wolf hunting come back to Wisconsin to control the wolf population. But wolves are still on the federal endangered species list. That's in spite of a population recovering from just 18 in 1987 to more than 900 today. The majority of livestock payments made by the DNR have gone toward missing calves. The agency doesn't require physical evidence that they were killed by wolves. Since 1985, the DNR has paid nearly $720,000 for missing calves. Over the last 10 years, a single family in Burnett County has gotten nearly $240,000 in missing calf payments. But hunters, not farmers, have gotten the largest overall payouts from the state's wolf damage program. As of early October, the DNR has paid more than $800,000 for hunting dogs killed by wolves. Randy Jurowitz is a retired DNR section chief who oversaw the wolf damage payment program from 1985 until 2010. He says paying for dogs used in recreational activities was hotly contested within the agency when it started in 1987, but there were concerns about bear hunters illegally killing wolves that attacked their property.
What kind of ruled was the fact that we had so few wolves in the state that really just a little bit of real serious negative feelings towards them would have eliminated them.
Lori Grosskopf of the town of Harrison in Lincoln County considers her hunting dogs family, and she's lost two of them to wolves since 2009.
These animals were trailing bear at the time, and one was trailing bobcat. They were attacked by wolves without any provocation and killed. And for us, it's been really, really traumatic.
Grosskopf got $5,000 for her two dogs, but she says the money hasn't changed her opinion that wolves should be removed from the endangered species list. She's far from alone in that belief, and DNR records show there have been 260 illegal wolf killings since the payment program began. 10 of those were reported between April 2018 and April of this year. Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Tribal Chairman Mike Wiggins says Anishinaabe people see the wolf as a brother and want to protect it. He says the story of wolf recovery in Wisconsin is nothing short of remarkable.
So when I hear those wolves howling and stuff like that inside the Bad River bottoms, I let that electricity flow. It's a great feeling, and it's a beautiful sound to hear. That's nature at work. It's the world at work.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has attempted to delist wolves 4 times since 2003, but was thwarted by legal challenges every single time. This year, President Donald Trump's administration announced it was beginning the process of removing wolves from the endangered species list once again.
That report was by Wisconsin Public Radio's Rich Kramer. He joins me now from our Eau Claire Bureau on the ongoing wolf controversy. Is that what we could call it, Rich?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So take us back to the beginning. At a certain point, the population plummeted, and they ended up on the endangered species list.
Sure. So historically speaking, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has some facts about how long they figure wolves have been in Wisconsin, and we're talking at least 10,000 years. But what I focused mainly on is the period from the early 1980s through the present. But again, historically speaking, wolves in Wisconsin, once European settlers arrived, they were basically, extirpated, but they were basically driven out of Wisconsin. There were state-sponsored bounties for more than 100 years that ended in 1957. By 1960, wolves were declared extinct in the state. The preferred word is extirpated. So they were extirpated by 1960. In 1973, the Congress passed the Endangered Species Act. And what that was aimed at doing is basically protecting species that were listed as endangered or threatened. And the definition of that means any species that's in danger of extinction throughout all or a significant portion of its range. And wolves definitely fit that bill in Wisconsin.
Let me interrupt there a little bit to say that, as you say, in its range. So you could have a species that conceivably is endangered in a previously indigenous range, let's say South Carolina for whatever, why not? But is plentiful in Nevada. I have no idea what that might be, but I figured if those two states would be probably have entirely different environments. Is that correct? Yeah.
That's an interesting point, because with wolves, that's part of the contention right now. Conservation groups and animal rights groups are arguing that wolves are not technically recovered, even though they're doing very well in Wisconsin. They've grown from zero in 1960 to more than 900 now, or as of early 2019. But their contention is that their range is far below that. There's all kinds of places where they historically lived, but their argument is that they can't be taken off the list until they've inhabited all those spaces. The people on the other side of the fence say that that's not possible. You can't have wolves living in Milwaukee. It's just not going to work. So their argument is that the use of the historical range is just kind of a technique to keep the wolves under federal protection forever.
Right. I would not want to venture into the very touchy world of politics, but it almost speaks to gerrymandering, if you will, or writing districts, right? You could
absolutely,
you could find a wolf district if you want to. Yeah.
There is a clear line, really, in terms of general favorability or unfavorability of wolves in Wisconsin, and I would argue that that line is pretty much Jackson County, Black River Falls, and north. That's wolf country. And in the more rural areas, a lot of people, they don't want to exterminate wolves again, but they certainly think there's too many of them. And I find that in larger cities like Madison, Milwaukee, also up north, where people don't have as much direct contact or experience with wolves, they tend to have a more favorable opinion of wolves. And that was also borne out in a 2014 survey conducted by the Department of Natural Resources. And it, just in general, I used to think that deer policies were very political. Anything about white-tailed deer in Wisconsin gets people angry, but wolves are in a different galaxy. They're just, I don't know if it's because of the, you know, some kind of primal instinct for fear in humans when it comes to wolves or what, but I've never seen another animal get so much heat politically.
Well, I'm going to find some wolf calls to play so that we can see exactly how those fears register. We're talking right. to my Wisconsin Public Radio colleague, Rich Kramer, from our Eau Claire Bureau, who did an extensive report in combination with the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism on the wolf situation in the state. Tell us about the compensation program, which is for wolves that kill dogs and livestock. It's not to compensate the wolves, but the owners of the dogs and livestock. Is that unique to Wisconsin?
Well, the answer is yes and no, Robin. Yes, Wisconsin is unique in that we pay hunters who lose hunting dogs. Generally, we're talking about bear hunters, and they basically track bears and drive them into a tree, and then the hunter shoots the bear. So I haven't been able to find any other state that compensates for hunting dogs that are killed by wolves. And it's an extremely, probably the most controversial part of the entire wolf depredation or wolf damage payment program in Wisconsin. And that's because the people that are against it say that these hunters, they're putting these dogs in danger, first of all, just by the nature of bear hunting. But also, a lot of the times when they're training their dogs or running their dogs, they're going through wolf territories, and specifically in the summer months, you know, spring, midsummer, the wolves have what are called rendezvous sites. And think of it as a doggy daycare. So all of the pups from a pack will stay behind. They don't go out. They're too young to go hunting with the adults. And then one or two adults will guard all of the pups. And generally, wolves are not, they don't like, from what I'm told by all these wolf researchers and biologists, they don't like seeing other dogs come through their territory, but they just won't tolerate it when they have a rendezvous site with all these pups. They'll kill the dog. So the Department of Natural Resources for years has been putting out these wolf caution maps, and it's basically an interactive map online that shows where wolves have attacked dogs and where wolves are known to have packs. And they're trying to warn hunters to try to avoid these conflicts. Hunters still go in the areas, and I'm told by Lori Grosskopf, who was featured in the story, I said, why do you go if the DNR says there are, you know, there's potential conflicts in this area? And she said, there's so many wolves that you can't go anywhere and not find them when they're hunting. And they're generally hunting in large public blocks of forest, like the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest, or Douglas County has a lot of county forest hunting land. So that is the really what got me the most interested, was the conflict or the controversy regarding these payments. And, you know, from the beginning, this was meant to try to garner some, I don't know what you'd call it, but basically tolerance of wolves.
By those who would be critical of them.
Exactly. The program was technically created in 1983. The first damage payment was made in 1985 in Douglas County. There was a $200 payment for a couple of sheep that were killed by wolves. 1987, the first hunting dog payment was made, and that was $2,500.
And let me ask there, I would imagine there's a difference between the payments for livestock and for hunting dogs.
There are differences. The main difference that I found was it seems to be much easier for the Department of Natural Resources to figure out a market price for a livestock animal that was killed by wolves, because there's a market. And when it comes to dogs, I was told that, you know, there's not really an open market for buying dogs. And also a lot of hunters would say that these were champion trailing dogs, you know, award winning. And it was very subjective. So they instead came up with a cap, a maximum payment of $2,500 for dogs. And by my math, they've given out almost the maximum in every single case. And all told, we're talking about $800,000 for hunting dog payments. That is the single largest category of payments. That's as of October. This was meant to build tolerance among livestock producers, and it quickly became the largest payments that had to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the livestock payments, all told, it's over $2.5 million that have been paid. And granted, that's 1985 through October of 2019. That's a long time. It's not a large amount of money, but I also found that the payments were never meant to go forever. They were meant to stop when the wolves came off of the endangered species list. But a lawmaker in 1999 slipped an amendment into a state budget that basically guaranteed the payments would continue regardless of how the wolves are listed. It's not a large program, you know, certainly not the biggest source of funds going out from the state, but
I can think of many things that spent $2 million since 1985. That
exactly.
And the part that's unique to Wisconsin is the dog part?
Well, the dog part is definitely unique to Wisconsin. It's been reported in the past that we're the only state that pays for hunting dogs that are killed by wolves. I asked the DNR repeatedly, can you prove that? And they said, well, you know, we've heard that Illinois has payments like that, but of course, Illinois doesn't really have wolves at all. And I've heard that the Southwest, there's wolves down there, but I couldn't find any programs. So the DNR didn't really give me a straight answer, but it's been reported for years that Wisconsin is the only state in the nation that pays for hunting dogs killed by wolves.
Since you brought Illinois into it, I'm going to invoke the very late Governor Adlai Stevenson in his almost mythical pronouncement in vetoing a bill. I think I'm probably characterizing this wrong, but it's close enough, trust me. The bill was, I think, to have cats all wear bells so birds would be alerted that there was a cat around and get out of the way before they became dinner. And in his veto, he wrote something like, "'Tis in the nature of a cat to wander." Isn't that the issue of wolves? I mean, they wander, right? I mean, so it's interesting that you pointed out that there's a map that says here's where the wolves are or not, but the bottom line is they wander, they're predators, they are definitely carnivores, and they eat sheep, they'll chase dogs, they are canines. So, you know, how can you actually control this?
Yeah, that's a big question, and there's a lot of different answers to it from different points of view. So just looking at the wandering part, you know, wolves naturally, as the pups grow older, their territory expands. They will move out, and some young male wolves will start their own pack. That's the idea. But in Wisconsin, the DNR says that we seem to have reached a point where all of the suitable habitat, and that's described by them as large chunks of forest land where there's not a lot of farms or not a lot of humans. But now, as the wolves are trying to expand, they're butting up against more populated areas, and that's where the conflict is happening. So that's where the majority of the attacks on livestock are happening, but also it's where a lot of the wolves that are killed illegally are being found, and also just simply roadkill.
That brings up what I would think would be a major concern. Are there any attacks on humans?
No. So that's another issue that's up for debate, but there have not been any attacks on humans in the lower 48 states that I was able to find any documentation of.
And yet this is one of our scariest animals in all our mythology.
Yeah, and here's something that, just for personally, it was very interesting, because when I was learning about how the wolves started coming back into Wisconsin, so we're talking about the 80s and 90s, they were moving into Wisconsin through Douglas County from northern Minnesota. And at the time, I was a kid, and we had a cabin in Douglas County, like right near the area where the wolves were really starting to grow. I never once even thought about wolves. I didn't know that they were out there. And, you know, generally, walking through the woods at night, you kind of get a sense that you're being watched. But I never was afraid that I'd be killed by wolves. But yet, there's
you
a lot
You were
of
the one kid who never heard Little Red Riding Hood?
Oh, I did. I read about it. But I just, you know, I didn't.
You just never took that route to grandmother's house.
I did not, no. No, and it's just it's interesting, because the people that I talk to that want to control, also known as they want to hunt wolves and reduce the population, they are the ones that talk the most about fear for their animals or fear for themselves. And they'll be talking about, you know, a lot of people are bringing pistols with them when they go into the woods. And I just never even thought of that. Maybe if I knew more about how many wolves were around in the area when I was growing up, I would have thought more about it, but it's just kind of an interesting paradox.
We're talking to Rich Kramer, my Wisconsin Public Radio colleague, who's done an extensive report on wolves and their status as endangered species. Rich Kramer, if that status were to change, if wolves were removed from the endangered status, what sort of monitoring is there of their population so that if perhaps they fell below a certain point, do they automatically get back on the list, or how does it work?
That's a good question. So they've kind of bounced back and forth from being on the endangered species list and being off. The federal government has tried, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services specifically, has tried to remove the gray wolf from the endangered species list multiple times, but every time it goes to court. So the best example I have is there was a wolf hunting season from 2012 to 2014 in Wisconsin. When that happened, there was extensive monitoring that the DNR in Wisconsin did. And they also, they've been doing this since. Every year they do a minimum count, and that includes them, you know, in helicopters, they're radio calling wolves constantly. They have a lot of volunteers that go look for wolf sign, and it's called the minimum count. And that's what they've been doing since. They were trying to measure as carefully the change in population due to the hunting that they could. The wolves were placed back on the endangered species list because of a court challenge. A federal judge in 2014 placed them back on. The monitoring reports have continued, but there's not been any authorized legal killing of wolves, not by hunters, also not by DNR or U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service agents who are dealing with animals that are repeatedly attacking farms.
Do you think there'll ever be any common ground?
I don't. I really don't. But that might be oversimplifying it. Every single person I interviewed for this story, I talked to 11 different people, and they all told me that they expect the wolf to be taken off the endangered species list, but they expect it to go back to court. And Lori Grosskopf, who's really been interested in this issue for years and years and years, I said, what do you think's going to happen? What's going to happen? She said, I'm going to get old and die, and nothing's going to change. So there seems to be consensus that it's going to be back and forth. But some of the wolf biologists and researchers, the retired folk that I talked to, said that they do believe that the common ground, the closest thing that we'll be able to get to a common ground, is the situation where you have protections, but you also have some hunting. Basically, think of it as giving a little bit to this side of the, you know, it's a grand compromise, if you will.
Many hunters do call themselves and very much act as environmentalists or at least conservationists because, of course, they want the species that they're hunting to exist. They don't want them to be wiped out.
Right. Yeah. And also they'll often argue that, you know, the money that is generated by license sales and everything that goes right into taking care of habitat and taking care of the species, because, you know, just monitoring wolves is an expensive proposition. It takes a lot of money, a lot of people to do this minimum count every year. As far as monitoring, Wisconsin did extensive monitoring every year during the wolf hunting season, 2012, 2013, 2014, and they continued to do annual minimum counts of the wolf population. But during the wolf season, when it was legal to hunt wolves in Wisconsin, they did reduce the population, especially in 2013. There was a reduction of something like 15 or 16%. And what I've been told is that if the population is reduced by more than 20%, then U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will come and they'll want to know more information from the state. They'll want to ask them about whether or not they're maybe hunting too aggressively or anything like that. But I don't know of any examples where the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service stepped in and took away a state's authority to hunt an animal that was delisted. But they certainly keep an eye on it. And I believe 20 or 25% reduction in population is that number where the agency, the federal agency, comes and starts to talk with the state agencies.
All right. Well, I'm sure you'll keep watching this. And even if you don't, there are people from all sorts of different constituencies who definitely have their eyes on the wolf. Thank you, Rich Kramer.
Thank you.
And we'll be back after this.
There ain't no man gonna invade my territory. There ain't nobody out there gonna mess with me. 'Cause I'm big and hard and battle scarred and getting long in the tooth. Desperate and hungry and got nothing to lose. Like to shoot at me, but they miss. Yeah, I'm a lone wolf, and I ain't never been trapped. And God help the people that think they got me cornered at
Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and with me in the studio is the late Dave Brubeck.
I don't think so.
I didn't mean you. I hadn't gotten to you yet. With me in person here is Walt Dizzo. Hello, Walt.
Hello.
Longtime host of the Dean's List and our Superior station KUWS, the Dave Brubeck I'm referring to is the tune on Square Dance, so he's here in spirit, which has been our theme song for this show and his predecessor, Hear Me Out, for a few years. And I have to say, it's actually a pretty good theme because it's quite flexible. You can take pieces of it and put it anywhere you want and fade it in and out.
It's not yours. It's Dave's song. It's his thoughts. It's something that speaks to him.
It's not Gary Hart's either, but the people made the movie The Front Runner, which I happen to see on a plane. I hear doom, 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 doom. I say, I know that song. They use it as their theme, too. People have gotten a lot of mileage out of Unsquare Dance. Thank you very much, Dave. But it's time for our own song.
So you had a contest.
We did. And you out there in Radio Land responded. The prize is a wonderful night stay for two at Barker's Island Inn and a Friday night gig for the winning group at the Cedar Lounge Earthrider Brewery Tap Room. But the judges are still deliberating, and we want your help. We're going to play the entries, but get a pen and paper and write down your favorites. Then go to the KUWS Facebook page. That's facebook.com/KUWSFM. Should I say that one more time, Walt?
Sure.
Facebook.com/KUWSFM. Even if KUWS isn't your particular Wisconsin Public Radio station that you're listening to right now, that's the one where we have this posted. And put a like really does mean like, by the name of the entry that you like. You may not be able to hear that because Facebook doesn't really have a way for posting audio. So listen carefully now to this broadcast and write down the ones you like.
The ones, so they can pick two?
Sure, why not? Yeah, I'm easy. Put a like on up to two, how about that, entries that you like best.
Could I vote for my own song?
I hope you do, although you're not entry, and I should say employees of Wisconsin Public Radio are not eligible for prizes, but that's okay because they didn't enter anyway.
All right, let's take a listen to these entries, please.
I'm dying to play them for you. So the first one is called Simply Superior, and the entrant is James Schaffstaw. He happens to be marketing director of the Big Top Chautauqua, although he is entering, I believe, as James Schaffstaw, not the entire Big Top. And let's take a listen.
When I'm sleeping, she's rolling by my side. When I'm sleeping, she's rolling by my side. Well, it's me that's been dreaming when something's on her mind.
daytime. She's storming like a winter coming on. In the daytime, she's storming like the winter coming on. Yeah, she snows me in so deep, chills me right down to my bones. When your ship is coming in, you gotta climb on board and go. Well, my ship is coming in, I gotta climb on board and go. Cause she's simply superior to any other girl I know. She's simply superior to any other girl I know.
All right, there's James Chastaw with Simply Superior. If you had any doubt about it, he said Simply Superior a few times at the end there.
He certainly got the name in there, for sure. It sounded like the extended remix version of a theme song to me.
It's a little challenging, I'm going to say, at first blush, for a theme song, because, you know, we need to kind of get moving. So it's a little deliberate in the beginning there. But that said, there's these other things that we call in the biz, what, bumpers in between segments. We've been doing that this whole show. We had some, you know, wolf music on the wolf segment earlier. And I can bumper with this any day.
Yeah. He's got some great lines about, you know, the winter storms. And, you know, we're right in the middle of that. So that's great bumper music right there. Sounds great. The production quality is there. He's got the riffs down. He's got some solos in there. It's a full-on jam for sure.
Well, it should be, because he's the prince of our submissions here. What did he do in here? He said, I wrote, performed, recorded, mixed, and mastered this for the contest. So, all right.
Who's up next?
Here we go. The next is Jan Lee, and it's not called Simply Superior. It's called She Calls. It's an overture to a larger original show called Superior, Songs and Stories of the Big Lake. This actually also was performed at Big Top Chautauqua, so let's take a listen.
Sandy shores and granite walls, blue green waters and rushing falls. She calls to you.
She calls to you.
From amethyst and agate's keep, whitefish, trout, and sturgeon deep, she calls to you.
Her seas calls to you, she calls to me. She mirrors your soul where you belong. Look in her mirror and sing her song. She calls to you.
okay, she called.
Indeed she did.
She did. And, hey, I mean, it's got Superior in it. And this was not written directly for the contest, so give Lily a lot of credit for saying, wait a minute, they're talking about a song for Superior. I've got a song for Superior. So thank you for sharing that. Again, it's got possibilities for actually not so much an opening theme, but definitely a closing theme.
I liked it a lot. It reminded me of sirens on a rock off the shore, singing to me, lulling me into submission, into the required state of mind to listen to the show.
You've seen them too.
No, but it makes me want to listen to the whole performance of Songs and Stories of the Big Lake. I thought it was great. I liked it.
So if you like it, dear listeners, go to that Facebook page, facebook.com/KUWSFM, and put a like by She Calls. And like James Shastaw earlier, put a like by his entry. So the next one is by Bruce Nelson. It is called, once more, Simply Superior. He did write this directly for the program.
Simply Superior, news and issues from a superior point of view. Gather to mirror your life and interests with the goal of helping you to understand the world we live in and the region we hold dear. By sharing the stories and information you'll enjoy and want to hear.
Well, there's no question that was a theme song.
Absolutely.
With a beginning, bridge, and end. And what he did that was different than everybody else is he wrote about the show.
He's obviously paid attention to what you've been doing. He knows the format.
You know, sometimes that actually shocks me when I'm in public and people say, I heard your show. You know, so there are people who actually pay attention to what we do, yes.
I understand.
But seriously, if anything, it's sort of an advertisement for us, and that is actually what a theme should be.
He also attached the PDF of the sheet music. So if we didn't like his voice or his playing, we could just record it ourselves.
We do have a recording studio. You want to hit it right now?
No, no. He did a much better job than I'd ever do. But I thought that was a cool thing he did.
It was, yep. All right, the next one is by Lily Joy of Duluth. She did indeed write this one directly for us, and it's pretty simply superior.
S-I-M-P-L-Y, superior. S-I-M-P-L-Y, superior. Everything you need, water, earth, and sky. Everything you want to feel alive. S-I-M-P-L-Y, superior. S-I-M-P-L-Y, superior.
All right, short and sweet. She got the idea of a theme. Meant to be a demo. She said she quickly recorded it, which is great. A lot of people came in at the deadline, and that's what she had to do. And, in fact, she was traveling, didn't have instruments with her, so, hey, a cappella works with a little shaking thing. She spelled it out, though. I thought that was...
Literally, yeah. I thought it was good, too. I think it was short and sweet, which is kind of what you need, recognizable in a theme song. And she obviously did write that for the program, much like the previous entry.
So, hey, what can you say? Short, sweet, to the point. Okay, Walt, here's another one that provided sheet music. This Simply Superior is by Tom Draughton of Ashland, who's also a cast member in shows at Big Top Chautauqua.
Simply superior, great inland sea. Simply superior, a perfect place for me. With the deer and the bear and the fresh clean air, rivers wild and free. Simply superior, that's where I long to be. Simply superior, my bold northern home. Simply superior, no more I'll ever roam. Marina slips and whaleback ships, such a sight to see. Simply superior, that's where I long to be.
It sounds like Tom concentrated on the simply and made it pretty simple, going right into the theme from the beginning. And again, this one is also flexible enough to use in different parts of the show.
Absolutely.
And you're keeping your assessment pretty simple too, Walt. If you like it, go to facebook.com/KUWSFM and hit that like button. Let's move on. The next one is by Danny Frank, who is a professor at Northland College. Again, he was actually traveling at the time. I think he was in Mexico or something like that. But I think he takes his guitar everywhere he goes, or he borrowed a guitar, and he banged this one out for us.
Lake not far from here, we got good coffee shops and plenty of beers. It's simply superior. We got friendly smiles that'll last all year. If you're looking for fun, you're gonna find it here. It's simply superior. Now come on down, let's sing it. We got a little more ways to go. If you want to be a part of it, I'll just tune in for the show. After all, it's not that hard. It's like watching the skies for shooting stars. There's a town on a lake not far from here. We got good coffee shops and plenty of beers. It's simply superior. We got friendly smiles that'll last all year. If you're looking for fun, you're gonna find it here. It's simply now come on down, let's sing it. We got a little more ways to go. If you want to be a part of it, I'll just tune in for the show. After all, it's not that hard. It's like watching the sky for shooting stars.
All right. So again, if you're a troubadour, take your guitar with you everywhere you go. Hey, real catchy, gets the name right out there, very clear what we're talking about. Again, flexible, you could use it definitely as the opening theme and coming in and out of pieces and saying goodbye.
Is he a music professor?
No, this is his avocation, I think, more than his vocation, but don't let me misrepresent him. So we got one more here. On a CD, this is another one that was already produced, but again, the contributor said, got to share this. You were asking for Superior. And in fact, this one is called An Anthem to Lake Superior. It's by Thomas and Deborah King. Anthem for Lake Superior, I should say. So.
Superior, our shining sea. Days and churning bays, so grand, so wild to see. Superior, superior, may memory.
No doubt, once again, that was Superior, and I did not know Superior had its own anthem, and now we do know that.
We certainly do.
You know, it is a little slow, and there's nothing wrong with slow. There's slow rock, there's slow concertos, slow movements of concertos, I guess. But it still is introductory. You know, if you started out Superior, I'm not going to sing it.
Yeah, everyone has their own way of pronouncing Superior, I realized, in all these entries.
Again, I think they're talking more about the lake, but that's okay. They picked it up. The song was there. So, once again, if you like that, the entry was Thomas and Deborah King of Solon Springs, Wisconsin, Anthem for Lake Superior. Go to that Facebook page, facebook.com/KUWSFM, and hit the like, or hit two likes if you like.
What's the deadline for this voting thing, Robin?
We've been running this forever, and we got to wrap it up. So January 13th, this coming Monday at midnight.
Looking forward to hearing the winning entry on your program. I know which ones I like the most. Which one do you choose, Robin?
You know, I like them all. So maybe we could have them all be the winner. They could join as one band, maybe take that grand prize, and everybody go to the Earthrider Brewery together as one concert. What do you think of that?
I mean, I think it's hard to divvy up a prize where they stay at a hotel if they all want to meet each other. That could be something interesting, but...
I hadn't thought about that part.
I think we probably should just choose one, yeah.
All right. Most of all, a big thank you for everybody for entering, and a thank you for listening and participating, which you will do. And if you haven't written down any of this yet, get your pens, pencils, and computers ready. I'll be back after the very short break with the lineup and a sampling of each song. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and if you didn't write down any of this, here's your last chance. The lineup of the entries and a sampling of each song. The list is, again, Simply Superior by James Schaffstall.
'Cause she's simply superior to any other girl I know. Yeah, she's simply superior to any other girl I know.
She Calls, submitted by Jan Lee. Simply Superior by Bruce Nelson.
Simply Superior, news and issues from a superior point of view. Gathered to mirror your life and interests with the goal of helping you to understand the world we live in and the region we hold dear. By sharing the stories and information you'll enjoy and want to.
Simply Superior by Tom Draughton.
Simply Superior, great inland sea. Simply Superior, a perfect place for me. With the deer and the bear and the fresh clean air, rivers wild and free. Simply Superior, that's where I long to be.
S-I-M-P-L-Y, Superior by Lily Joy.
S-I-M-P-L-Y. Superior, S-I-M-P-L-Y, Superior, everything you need, water, earth, and sky.
Simply Superior by Danny Frank.
Town on a lake not far from here, we got good coffee shops and plenty of beers, it's Simply Superior. Got friendly smiles that'll last all year. If you're looking for fun, you're gonna find it here. It's Simply Superior.
An Anthem for Lake Superior by Thomas and Deborah King.
Superior, superior, our lake and sky so free. We cherish you. Ch-
That address again is facebook.com/KUWSFM. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We'll leave you with, well, before we say goodbye to it, let's hear Dave Brubeck's Unsquare Dance one more time.